it was very hard for a while to become the villain in someone else's story, because you don't want people talking badly about you when you're trying to do the best thing for your family. You don't, I mean, that hurts. That's harmful. It's not a fun place to be. But eventually I got to a point where I was starting to have more clarity and I was able to see things more realistically. My self-esteem started to get better because I was able to make decisions that aligned with my values. I was able to set boundaries that I felt were necessary to protect myself.
Welcome back to another episode of Till the Wheels Fall Off. I'm Matt.
I'm Paige.
Waking everybody up here. Late night recording session. We pivot a bit this week. If you were on our call, we mentioned we would have a longer episode this week. We had to pivot a little bit. This is what you get this week.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an awesome episode, though. I'm sorry. It's late and we're delirious. And I've been laughing at this Instagram reel I found and I can't stop now.
Oh, he was cackling so hard. And I'm over here like, let's go. I mean, it was funny, but it wasn't that funny.
One of those, I don't know. There's certain times when I come across something and I'm like just the right level of tired and I will not stop laughing.
I mean, I love it. It's kind of like that's what happens with girls at sleepovers.
Just get delirious and you can't quit laughing.
Yeah, we've had times like this too, though. We were just in bed and we just start dying laughing over something and we can't shut up. It's great.
So forgive me because this is a serious topic.
Pretty much.
Our episode today is it's about being the villain or being okay being the villain in a story.
Someone else's story.
Yeah. Being okay being the martyr, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's a really tough thing to do. It's a really tough thing to face. Got a pretty interesting discussion around this. Paige has created an episode, which are always my favorite episodes. Mm. I think everyone else's too, if I can just speak for the world here for a second.
I don't know. When I started typing this out, it kind of just started flowing.
That means it's a good topic. You've got a lot to say about.
Let's hope that it makes sense.
Before we get started, we've still got some sweatshirts available. Larger sizes are available right now. I think I learned a lesson about ordering merch. Get a lot more smalls and mediums.
Mm-hmm. Well, and larges.
I just followed the advice of someone that had done it before, and they were totally wrong. But you don't know what you don't know until you try it.
We fail and make mistakes, and that's how we learn.
Still got courses out there. The first, we have a mini course still available. These are limited time run courses. We will extract from time to time a module from our larger course, Independently Strong, and make it available for a limited time. We've got the relationship evaluation mini course available right now on our website, tufo.com, or over at independentlystrong.com, the official website for the courses. For $50, you can pick that up for a limited time. If you're curious about what these courses are about, if you think they're for you, this is a low-risk introductory way to do it. The larger course is still available as well, independentlystrong.com. You can get 75% off using the code WHEELIES75. That's WHEELIES with an S, 75. What are you staring at me like that for?
Because you enunciate and I love it.
Proper microphone etiquette, yo.
It just takes me back to fifth grade choir.
Oh, yeah, and those kids singing all crazy?
No, they taught so that that's how they taught me how to sing.
Yeah, I see it. It just looks weird.
Yeah.
That's how I look right now is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Look the other direction, please, while I finish this. Okay. The course, if you don't know what the course is about, we developed what we considered an alternative to a lot of the typical recovery programs that are out there for spouses and partners. We think it's awesome. It's backed by clinicians. It's got science-backed, research-backed data that drives this thing. It's very robust. It's long. It's got all kinds of content, information, and videos. It is worth every penny.
Yes.
Check it out, independentlystrong.com. Reviews are coming back, and it's like there are people that say, like, I've Googled for thousands of hours, and I cannot believe I finally found exactly what I was looking for.
Life-changing.
That's what we recreated it for. It's like, if the other alternatives have not worked for you, give this a shot. Give us a shot. Invest in yourself, invest in your recovery, and give us a shot. Yep. I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about this.
Okay.
Let's get going on this. This is a loaded topic. I think a lot of people struggle with this.
Yeah. A lot of people struggle with this, but I wanted to start it off with, there's this video that was actually posted in our community a while ago, and then an awesome wheelie sent it to me right after I wrote up this episode, and I was like, hell yes. So there is a Peloton instructor named Kendall.
Kendall Tool.
You know her last name?
Dude, I ride with Kendall all the time.
Yeah, she's from California, right?
Yeah, she's a California girl living in New York. I ride with her.
She's got great music.
Not just because she's really cute, but because she's got the best music.
She's a doll. But she, I said doll. I didn't know if you know what I said.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. After I said it, I was like, it might have sounded like something else.
Oh, like you said dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Okay, so it said, what does bitch stand for? Boundaries I thoughtfully and confidently hold. If holding your boundaries makes you a damn bitch, be a top bitch. Freaking love that. Because it's true. When we start setting boundaries, people are going to call us a bitch. It's going to happen. You know, many of us are afraid to be the villain in other people's stories because we're the ones who are making the changes. We're the ones who stand up and say no more. You know, we want to break the cycles. We want to be the ones who follow through to protect our own values and our boundaries. The ones that act instead of react. Like, we want to do these things, but it's so scary for us because many of us are people pleasers. We don't want to rock the boat. We're scared. We're afraid that someone is going to call us a bitch, or they're going to call us the villain, or they're going to say that we're the ones who tore everything apart. And that's hard.
Or talk to everyone you know mutually and smear campaign.
It's a smear campaign.
Tell everyone how awful you are.
And mm-hmm. Slander you.
Yeah, and make up stuff. Like sometimes just blatant lies or like twisting the truth so it's really makes you sound like a terrible person.
Yeah.
When it all usually comes from a really honest, genuine place.
Right. Yeah. I mean, these people are going to do whatever they can to make us look like the bad guy. It's not okay.
No.
But we have to be okay with it.
You do have to be okay with it. I think it's like, I'll just say most people want to be liked.
Yeah.
I think it's in our evolution. It's in our psychology. Like, we want to be liked by other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary whenever you kind of walk out on your own and you're like, this is what I think. And there's no one else following you,
mm-hmm.
which happens a lot. And like, this happens a lot in families. This happens a lot in addicted relationships. And so this conversation isn't just limited to an addicted spouse or partner, like someone who's right. an active addiction, and they're not going to like it when you set a boundary. Like, it certainly applies there, but it's much more broad than that.
Mm-hmm.
It can be all kinds of stuff.
It can be your boss, can be a coworker, can be your friend, family member. I mean, it's setting boundaries and sticking to your guns is scary.
Yeah, it's going to, unfortunately, upset people because they don't have the same access they used to.
That right there.
They don't have the same, like, you've taken away their ability to take advantage of you a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
which is, I mean, that's why we have boundaries oftentimes. Like, I'm not going to say that every boundary is a good, valid boundary. I'm sure there are people out there who are a little over the top, but
okay.
I don't know anyone that does that. I'm just saying they're probably
usually
out there.
Usually the people who do it that are over the top, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, they're still living their life. They're living their best life, I'm sure, because they're like, I don't care. This is me, and this is the boundary that I have, so move on. They don't care about being the villain in another story.
To ask you a question?
Sure.
What's your fear if someone doesn't like you?
I fear that I'm wrong.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then what if you were? Like, what's...
Then that's where my almost all or nothing thinking comes into play. And that means if I'm wrong here, then where else am I wrong?
Oh, you start to look at
And then
at
I
all
become looking at everything else. And then I kind of like catastrophize it in my own mind. Like, I'm just wrong. I'm just not any good.
Sort of
and
like,
then I become embarrassed.
Like, the foundation of everything you think and feel starts to crumble then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... could be at some points that we're wrong. It could be. But
yeah.
I think I've always looked at it this way. It's like, if I'm wrong, I'm just going to make that right. Like, I'll apologize. I'm sorry I was wrong.
Yeah, for sure. But it's just a fear that I've had.
I don't think you're alone in that fear at all. I think that a lot of people truly do fear speaking up for themselves and putting boundaries in place because it will piss people off that they were intended for. As soon as people don't have that same access to you, it's really, really going to piss them off. And they're going to say all kinds of vile and nasty stuff about you.
Yes.
Drag your name through the mud.
Yes.
Tell anyone that will listen how awful you are,
mm-hmm.
how you abandon them, how mm-hmm. you're just, you don't care. And they take it so far.
Yeah.
Take it so far.
And you start to question that because you don't want people talking bad about you. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, am I doing something wrong? Am I doing something wrong? I think this is a normal reaction when you do first start setting boundaries. You are going to have that. It's going to feel unfamiliar. It's going to feel icky. It's going to feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. But you have to do something different than what you were doing before and see what happens.
Yeah. take the option that involves change. Like, yes. I've always gone that way. Mm-hmm. Like, let's change. Because I don't like what's happening right now.
Right.
If the worst thing that happens in my life is someone doesn't like me, I think I've done okay.
Yeah.
I think that if everyone likes you all the time, like, you can't be authentic and do that.
No.
Like, what are the chances that everyone is going to like you? Right. Everyone is going to appreciate the things that you do or say.
You do lose your authenticity when you try to people please everybody and you're not standing your ground.
Yeah.
You'll lose who you are. And that's, I want to go through what happens if we continue to tolerate behaviors and stop living by our values.
So
without boundaries.
So you're presenting two alternatives here.
Yes,
so one in which you keep doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
And then the other is, what if you did
become the villain?
And what if you did become okay with being the villain?
Yeah.
Like, and what would it take to get there?
Yeah. All right. So let's start with what's going to happen if you keep doing what you're doing. Your self-esteem is going to deteriorate even more than it is right now. And then you're going to start minimizing the issues and tell yourselves that, oh, it isn't that bad. You know, a lot of us have that mentality in these situations. And we've talked about this a lot. And we talk about it in the course too. But if you keep doing what you're doing, your self-esteem is going to just go down further. It's not going to be built up until you start making decisions on your own.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, we make decisions that go against our intuition because we don't want to rock the boat. So if you're continuing to do that, you're going to start losing what your intuition really means and what it means for you and what your values are. That it's just going to get worse over time.
Yeah. You're going to stop listening to that inner voice.
Yeah. Yeah. The toxic cycle will continue. So there's a tension building phase, the explosion phase, reconciliation phase, and the honeymoon phase. We go through a lot of this in the course.
This is also called the roller coaster.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's going to keep going over and over and over again. So like the tension building phase is whenever you're starting to walk on eggshells, there's a small argument that happens. And then, you know, you start little arguments. And then the next one is the explosion phase where you like lose your shit. Both of you do. We had a lot of this. I actually have a lot of examples of what we went through within the course on this toxic cycle so people can understand and they can get an idea. And then after the explosion phase, there's a like reconciliation phase how do you say that?
You said it right. Reconciliation.
You said reconciliation. I said reconciliation.
I'm like tomato, tomato.
Okay. Well, it's called this, but you're not really solving problems here. It's more like shoving things under the rug.
Yeah.
It might be like, hey, I got you some flowers.
It's more like a ceasefire.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, let's just, you know, put this aside for a moment. And then you'll have a honeymoon phase where you feel hope and you feel like everything's going to be okay. And there's like love bombing and it's like, everything's great, but it continues to happen over again. You're going to go back to the tension building phase because the problems are never solved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the other things that,
you perpetuate the toxic cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to change. The next one is going to be your boundaries are going to keep being crossed and disrespected if you don't follow through with them. So a lot of times we'll set up these boundaries like, hey, you know, I don't want you to drink in the house. And then they're going to come in and drink in the house and then you don't do anything about it. Nothing's going to change. The hardest part is to actually follow through with those consequences.
Yeah.
So you have these boundaries set, they're going to keep getting disrespected with somebody who's not willing to listen to you.
Yeah, making threats is easy.
Yeah.
Making threats is not the same as following through, though.
No. No.
A lot of threats are made in this game.
We talk about that in active addiction and how communication in active addiction just doesn't get you anywhere. You know, we have these ideas that if we put these boundaries in place that someone's going to listen to us. But in reality, they're not. They don't listen. They don't care at that point. Like, they need to keep doing what they're doing. The emotional immaturity is going to get worse on the other person. Like, they're not changing. You're not changing. If you're still stuck in this, the same thing is going to continue to happen. And then alcoholism and addiction are progressive. They'll get worse. And no life milestone is going to change that.
I played that game forever.
I know. We both did.
There's no such thing.
We both did. And then if they're not, you know, working on something, then you've got the behavioral issues, like a dry drunk, which we're familiar with, and the behaviors are still going to be there years and years later. You know, that's why we're very big on looking at the behaviors instead of the substances.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a guarantee that if you choose to do nothing, if you really don't do anything, and you can sit here and you can talk about what you would like to see different, and you could tell your friends about it, you can post in the community about it, you can go to a meeting and share about it. But if you do nothing, you're going to keep getting what you always got. Mm-hmm. It's no different than addiction. It's like, I can sit here and talk about how I need to stop all day long, but if I choose not to stop, it's just going to get worse over time.
Right.
This is no different. Like, you've hitched your wagon to someone who's toxic. It doesn't have to just be an addict. It can be someone who's just really tough to deal with. Mm-hmm. Really tough to deal with. And like this whole like villain, I guess this identity that people will give you. You good there?
I got it.
This villain identity that people will label you with, and they'll say that you're terrible. This doesn't just come from addicted people.
No.
This can come from family members. Like, a lot of times when, like, let's say that you are with, I'm not going to be PC about this, like a mama's boy, mm-hmm. like someone who has struggled with addiction, but like in their mother's eyes, they can do no wrong. There are a lot of guys like this, like where, and it's, tends to be the mother of the male.
Yeah.
Like, he does no wrong. Well, when you start standing up and start saying, I'm not allowing this in my home, you won't treat my kids like this, you won't treat me like this, this is not marriage to me, like, we're not doing this. A lot of times, mama's boy will go cry to mom and tell her, oh, how awful she is and how terrible she is. And he'll tell everyone around you how awful this person is. And then, you know, mama bear is going to go out and tell everyone how awful you are too. Like, they're going to buy that story wholesale and go around, talk to everyone about how terrible you are.
Yeah.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts. It's slander, man. Yep. It's not true.
Right.
You took this out of context to defend someone who doesn't deserve to be defended. Mm-hmm. You know, you're pulling this completely out and you're making me like this horrible person, but like, I'm protecting myself. Mm-hmm. I'm protecting myself. And I do think that, like, in the age of Instagram, like, I was just, I found that funny reel, I was scrolling through stuff. I think that there's so many creators out there who, like, insist on, like, divorce your family. Like, get rid of everyone, get rid of anything that upsets you. I don't believe in that. I don't agree with that. I don't think that that's a way to be happy in the world. Like, because if you play that long enough, you'll be left, like, completely alone.
Alone, yeah.
Completely
alone. You'll find anything.
Like, just because someone has a differing opinion than you doesn't mean you just cut them out of your life.
Right.
I'm talking about more serious issues that, like, violate values, guys. Like, values. And if you don't know what values are, what your values are, go back, listen to our series on boundaries. And on our first episode, we talked about values, the importance of them, how to discover what they are. But there are a lot of people, I think, that we've become more frail than we've ever been just as a society. Like, did we talk about this last episode? I can't remember if we did.
I think that we talked about it, but that was on another one that we didn't release.
Okay. Well, we talked about this, about how I think that people just don't deal with adversity anymore. Like, at the first sign of discomfort, we just cut bait and run.
Yeah.
As soon as a job gets difficult, we look for another job. As soon as a workout gets hard enough, like, we're just done with it. As soon as a diet gets uncomfortable, like, we quit. Mm-hmm. I think that everything in this world now is created for us to be comfortable and happy. And every valuable company in the world just creates comfort and convenience. That's what they do. Yeah. I think we can take it too far.
Yeah.
We can. But I think that our listeners know the difference.
Exactly.
I think they know the difference.
Yes.
But I will caution against that. Like, just because it applies here doesn't mean that, like just because your mailman doesn't put in the mail, like, in the mailbox the way you want it, doesn't mean, like, you call USPS and, like, this is how Karens are formed, y'all.
Right, exactly. Be careful with this. No, I think this is totally different situations. We're dealing with people who have, like, narcissistic abusive tendencies, you know, and a lot of the spouses and partners are dealing with that, which is really, really hurtful to and harmful to your self-esteem. You know, all that little stuff, that's not relevant here.
Yeah. It's not. Like, there are big problems and there are small problems. There's a spectrum of big versus small problems. Yeah. I think, hope you know the difference.
Yeah.
If you don't, does it affect your values or not? It's a good way to,
yep,
to sort of acid test that. Is this a general annoyance or is this a serious problem?
Right, right.
I think that's important.
I'm glad that you brought that up. Okay. So what happens when you actually do become the villain in someone else's story?
Man, let's go through it.
Okay. Well, I have some experience here, so I can tell you what happened with me.
Let's do it.
It was very hard for a while to become the villain in someone else's story because you don't want people talking badly about you when you're trying to do the best thing for your family. You don't, I mean, that hurts. That's harmful. It's not a fun place to be. But eventually I got to a point where I was starting to have more clarity and I was able to see things more realistically, I think that's a positive in itself. My self-esteem started to get better because I was able to make decisions that aligned with my values. I was able to set boundaries that I felt were necessary to protect myself. And that's an empowering decision and process in itself to be able to do that. Even if it's scary, it's still so important and it feels good. We have a better chance at living authentically. And I think that I have become more authentic throughout the years since I have been able to put those boundaries in place and help build my self-esteem. We're able to heal more, even if somebody's still, you know, trash talking you, you're still able to heal because you know that you are outside of a toxic situation that could harm you. Our children have the opportunity to understand what they should and should not tolerate in relationships. I think that's really important to teach your children how to set boundaries and how they can empower themselves to do what's right for them. Like it's our goal as parents to teach them to do those things.
Yeah. You, what's the old quote about this, about you prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child.
Yeah. 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 There's actually this book called Enough is Enough. Oh, I forgot who it's by. It's on our website. It's a very, very hard read, but it's incredible. And it talks about how the spouse, speaks up during an argument and is teaching their children how to not tolerate anything. Like being silent is actually harmful. Reacting is harmful, but acting is what you're teaching your children is right. And I need to like pull that out and put it in the community because it's a really powerful statement what he talks about. Because, you know, we do share, don't jade, obviously, because that's important, but there's also a way to stand up for yourself so that you know that you're not tolerating these behaviors.
I like that. Was enough is enough?
Enough is enough.
I haven't read this one.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then we're able to trust our instincts more. And that's our compass for life. That's what helps us get through life, is being able to feel what is right and wrong for us. And whenever you become the villain in somebody else's story, you will be able to trust your instincts more. And I know that sounds weird. It sounds crazy, right? It's like, well, these people are saying the total opposite. Shouldn't I not trust my instincts anymore? But you do, because you have more clarity. You're able to see it clearly.
Yeah. And don't forget, like family units can operate like echo chambers at times. Like a lot of times there will be a vocal one, right? The vocal one, who's oftentimes the problem as well. Mm-hmm. The vocal one, like there's one that will enable, they've got like flying monkeys that kind of support them. Mm-hmm. No one wants to challenge them because when you do, it's too difficult. You can upset that person and become the villain instantly over some of the most like mundane things, like just seemingly harmless things that you can ask someone to do, and they can lose their mind and you become the villain. So a hypothetical situation here, there's someone in your life that has basically walked over every value that you have. And for a long, long time, you just stand back and you let it happen because to speak up causes more trouble than it's even worth, you feel like. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know someone like this, right? A lot of times it's the addict.
Yeah.
But it's not always the case. It can be someone else in your life. So you can apply this to other people in your life. These people are out there and everyone knows who they are. You can speak up and you can say something like very respectfully, very simply. You can like set a boundary. It's like, hey, I would appreciate if like you didn't show up to a birthday party with like $3,000 worth of gifts.
Yeah.
Like, we don't appreciate that. Like yeah. I would like to provide for my kids, but I don't want to show them too much. And then they throw an oversized fit about it. Like that right there should tell you, okay, we're dealing with someone who is not stable. Like that is a simple request. That is not like punishing anyone. That's a really simple thing, but they want to be star of the show. They want to be, you know, big man on campus, and they want to show out to everyone that like, this is what I do. I do these things. I buy love. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we're not for that. And then what do? They turn around and they just violate it. They'll find a way to circumvent that, by sneaking it or working in it in some other way. It's like, they can't take just a simple request. They can't. They are obsessed with control. Like, yes. There's nothing they want more than dominion over other people. And when you violate that, you will become the villain instantly. Mm-hmm. Instantly. Like, so in this hypothetical, if you continue to stand your ground, they're not going to change. They're not going to get better. They're not going to see your point. They're not going to see your perspective. They're just going to double down. And they're going to smear your name. And then it starts to bleed into other things. Like, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse over time. It starts with something small like that. And then before you know it, once you've pulled back, you can see it for what it is. It's like, holy crap, I was in that. Like that.
Yeah.
Like, that was crazy. How was I in that for that long? Mm-hmm. Like, it was absolutely insane. Like, but you can't see it until you step away from it.
Right.
But you have to be okay with shooting your middle fingers at everybody and being like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want about me. You can smear my name. You can slander it, whatever. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to me. There's this this thing I watched on YouTube with our son not long ago. I was talking to him, like, he was asking me some really deep philosophical questions about, like,
he does that,
the universe. He was like, you know, what happens when, like, stars die? And then, like, does the universe ever die? And I was like, oh, I got to show you something. There's, like, this time lapse that increases in speed, like, every 3 seconds. It, like, doubles in speed. And so it's, like, 40 minutes long, but it starts, like, present day, and then it goes until, like trillions of years from now. And, like, it shows, like, the death of the universe or whatever. But you don't have to get very far out before, like, the sun swallows the earth and, like, none of this means anything at all. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of crazy, but I think about that sometimes.
Yeah.
I think about that when someone has a problem with something I've said, or they, like, we get TikTok attacked all the time. Like, people come after us with, like, mean comments and, like, you're idiots and whatever. Like, it does not bother me. Not in the slightest. I know it bothers you a bit more, but it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I can look at that and be like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, when I'm 80 years old, I will not care. Like, one day I'll be dead. You'll be dead. No one will care. Like, 2 weeks after my funeral, no one will care.
No, I think about that too. And that's what helps me get through it.
It doesn't matter. In this moment, it feels really big. And, like, my only fear is that they could be right. I think that's like what you mentioned earlier. Yeah. I could be wrong. It's like,
yeah,
man, like, what if they're right about it? And then I'm like, I make mistakes sometimes.
Exactly.
Like, okay, so what?
Right. We
so
can
what?
Own it later.
So what?
Right.
So what? But any time that either of us have ever done this, and, like, in our hypothetical, setting up that boundary, like, I don't regret it. Mm-hmm. I don't regret it.
Yeah.
Even when it's difficult, I don't regret it.
Yep.
And it's crazy because toxic people will try to suck you back in. Like, you talked about the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Man, like, you set that boundary and it's going to piss them off really bad. And these people are good.
Really good.
They're good. So
really good.
They're going to come back without saying sorry, though. That's, like, the number one way you can tell. Like, they're not going to really say I'm sorry.
Not take accountability.
They're going to come back as if everything's cool because it's been 2 weeks. Certainly they're over it by now. It's all good. They'll show back up and try to act like everything's honky-dory. Like, it's all good. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we're buddies. And they'll try to make plans with you, or, hey, let's get together. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's like, I don't like you. Remember, we talked about this. Like, I don't want to spend time with you. You're a perpetual line stepper. And I just flat out say it. Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Yeah.
I mean, literally
you
just like that.
You have to be direct in these instances. And you do.
Yeah. And it's funny, though. When you do, you get instant validation that you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. If I was on the other side of that conversation and someone came to me and said, like, I have this boundary and I stepped on it and they got upset with me and I came back to them. I cannot imagine, like, as a sane, rational person, not making that right, not making amends, not, like, listening to what they're saying, like, really hearing what they're saying and, like, thinking about how are my actions in violation? What can I do different moving forward? Like, what can I do to make this relationship better? No, the other type, like this narcissistic type, will come back. And the moment that you don't give them what they want again, they throw a tantrum.
Yes.
Immediate tantrum.
That's your proof.
And then you'll be getting phone calls from family members for the next week saying, did you say this about me? Like, no, what are you talking about? Well, so-and-so said you did. That's a flat out lie. Does that sound like something I would say?
Right.
No. And it's hurtful in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's really hurtful.
It makes you a little angry.
But it hardens you too. It really hardens you. And it gets you to the point where, like, I don't care what you think, man. I know what I'm doing here.
That's true. That's true. And that's why keeping your side of the street clean does come in handy.
It does.
Because we don't, usually the mentally stable person or whatnot is not, or the healthier version or person is not going around trash talking this person.
No.
You know, it's no. not like that. No. There's no slander or anything like that. It's just like, okay, I'm just going to keep my side and do what I need to do. And we'll figure out what happens from there. But being okay, being the villain is important. Like you, as long as you know your truth, like this is what I had to do. I had to change my mindset because a lot of the times these people will say, well, you're the problem. You're the one who ruined my family. You're the one who messed everything up. I have to change it. And I have to say, no, you chose those consequences by not respecting my boundaries, not the other way around. You chose this.
Yeah. Yeah, man,
and that's literally complicated whenever either. That when I was able to shift my mindset, because at first you're like, oh man, oh my gosh, am I doing the right thing? Like, am I the bad guy? Because they're telling me I'm the bad guy. Maybe I am the bad guy. No, you chose these consequences.
I think healthy people do what you just did, though. I think healthy people will always consider, man, did I do that? The other person doesn't do this.
No.
Like an addict will not do that.
No.
It's there's no way it's me. It's you. I don't like when an act of addiction, I was probably guilty of some of this, I'm guessing, right? Like I was a little faded. I don't remember, but yeah. I'm sure I did some of this. Like an act of addiction, I'm just like, I'm not thinking rationally. I'm just attacking. I'm in attack mode. Like healthy people play offense and defense.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Toxic people just play offense. They're just trying to attack. They're trying to score. That's it, man.
There's
that's all they're
no
trying to
accountability.
Do. None. So they're not questioning for 1 second, could I be responsible for this? They're just coming after you. I think healthy people will have that thought. Damn, could this be me?
But sometimes they do have fake accountability or fake apologies. But it's an apology, but.
Talking about like the covert narcissistic types.
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
But. If you hear that. That's not accountability, man.
No, that is still trying to keep it kosher. I don't know.
I heard a really cool story about someone that was okay with being the villain. So I met this guy in recovery who showed up to a treatment center. Like he didn't know he was going to be there. Like a friend picked him up to take him to get something to eat. And he just arrived at a treatment center and he was like, is this a restaurant? Like, I mean, they have food here, but that's not really what they do. So he was basically told, like, I think you have a drinking problem. Your wife thinks you have a drinking problem. You're going in here, period. And he was really, really resentful. He sat in that place for a month, just like, they are evil. I can't believe they would do this to me. I don't have a problem. And it's funny, like treatment centers are like prisons. Like everyone in there is innocent. You know, mm-hmm. like,
yep.
Like you walk in, like, I don't have a problem. Like we all say that, like someone in here is guilty, surely. Right. It's like a prison. Like no one in there did what they said, what they were accused of doing,
yeah,
convicted
yeah.
of doing, you know?
Right.
So he sat there for 30 days. And then like a couple of days before he gets out, his wife tells him, like, you're not coming home. He's like, what do you mean? Like, I've done everything you've asked. She's like, you're not getting it. You're not participating. You haven't embraced this. You're not coming home. So he ends up going to sober living and he's in sober living for 30, 60. I think he's in 60 days now, like pretty far out removed. He gets served divorce papers in there, mm-hmm. in sober living because he's not getting the point. The action itself does not mean anything. Mm-hmm. You're not getting the point here. And I think it's like, when I heard that story, like I'm obviously laughing at him, like with him, not at him, both actually. We can all laugh at this, like as addicts, like we were sharing amongst addicts. And so we hear this and we're like, oh yeah, been there, dude. Uh-huh. That's like my favorite part about meetings like that is we can laugh at the absurd. But anyway, I thought what was really powerful about that though, is like, what must his wife have been going through? Like with kids and everything else for him to display the thing that he was supposed to be doing, like performative. I'm in treatment. I'm going, I'm sitting here, I'm doing the thing. But not giving him that, like it's more than that, and sticking to her guns to serve him divorce papers in there. And it wasn't until he got divorce papers that he goes, oh shit. And he really got to work. He picked up a sponsor. He started working steps. He went to 90 meetings in 90 days and he's really doing the deal now. Now the marriage is back on the table, but I think she was fully prepared to be the villain.
Amazing. I mean, she was the villain for a long time.
And once again, that's a story where like she saved this guy's life.
I was going to say, if it may save one life at least, You know, sometimes when people leave, it doesn't save the addicts, you know, they don't come back exactly how you want them to, but you're saving yourself. You know, if you stick with it and stay in it, sometimes you're going to deteriorate over time and it's going to be really, really harmful for you.
Yeah. Like there's nothing there. No one is more triggered than a narcissist being accused of something that they definitely did. That they definitely did.
Yep.
And when you call them on it, they're going to get really, really pissed about it. And rather than take accountability of any sort, they're going to smear and you're going to be the villain. I think in this life, you have to be okay with being like not being liked by everybody. You just do.
You do.
You do. And it never gets easier. Like people will ask questions like, how do I make myself stop caring what people think? You don't. You just think about it less. That's all you do. You just think about it less.
Yeah.
You become confident in what you're doing. And I hope that like a space like we've created with the community does that for people. It gives them that validation that like, okay, I'm not crazy in doing what I'm doing. And you're not. You're not. But it doesn't feel that way whenever you're the only one doing it.
Yeah.
So get around other people that are doing it. Mm-hmm. Becomes much easier to live with and to stomach. And you will think about it less. When you've got a team around you, you think about it less.
It's true.
Like this is something funny I've noticed about addicts. When I work with addicts that haven't been exposed to treatment or 12-step groups or anything like that, where there's a community of people that are going through it, they are always the ones that ask the question, well, how do I tell people that I don't drink? I'm like, no one effing cares. Like, what, you think you're that important that people care that you don't drink?
Yeah.
Who cares? Like no one cares. It's always the people who aren't in a community of some kind.
Yeah.
Like to them, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's not. Get around others who are doing the same thing. You're going to see quickly that no one gives a shit.
Yep.
No one cares what's in your cup, dude. And no is a complete sentence, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you drink? No. The end.
End.
Like, that's it.
That's
it's a complete sentence.
Yeah.
I've also told people that, like, just say, I don't drink.
Yeah.
What a freaking concept. Mm-hmm. I don't drink. I've only had someone ask the question like one time. There was a dude at a wedding. It was actually the bride's father.
Yeah.
Was toasting all the groomsmen. I was sober a year or two. We were around this big pool table and he's pouring drinks for everybody. He's trying to pour me a drink. I'm like, I'm good. I don't drink. And I had a Diet Coke or a Coke or something like that. And I just had it instead. Like, I will cheers with this. It's a glass. I'm participating. I'm here. I love you guys. I support y'all. And he would not let it go. Why don't you drink? Blah, blah, blah. And like, I flipped out on the guy finally because he made a scene of it. I'm like, oh, you want to go there? Okay. You want to get an awkward? You want to make this awkward? I will give you awkward.
Uh-huh.
I laid into him. I didn't care. I didn't care what anyone at that table thought about me. I believe in what I'm doing. I don't care what they think. I don't.
I've always admired that about you.
Like, it doesn't matter. It just does. And I wish I could plug people into my head. Like, it does not matter what other people think about you.
Yeah.
Do you like you? Do you like the person in the mirror?
Oh,
okay. It's like that Hormozy quote. If you're between two actions to take, choose the one that's a story you'd prefer to tell for the rest of your life. That's what it is. Choose the one that's a story that you'd prefer to tell for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I interpret that as like, tell the most epic story. What's the most epic story? That you let this person run ruckshot over you forever and you didn't stand up for yourself and you didn't teach your children anything. You didn't learn anything about yourself. You didn't teach yourself how to stop caring what others think and let that control your behaviors and your actions.
Yeah.
Or that you learn how to stand up for yourself and you don't care. You don't care.
And it's not easy.
No. No one said it's easy.
No, it's a very difficult process to go through.
Yeah, it's simple, like conceptually simple, but it's not easy in practice.
Exactly.
It's a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
Because I think we're all trained, like we want to be liked, you know, we want to fit in. Like we're social creatures. We want to be liked by other people.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone is worth being liked by.
Like, right.
I've learned that about my life.
Yeah. And then whenever you do become more authentic, you end up finding a different tribe anyway. That will be aligning with your values and stuff like that. But it does take time. It takes time to get there. Like the Wheelies said, man, y'all are my tribe. That's my tribe.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to find people who were like-minded. You know?
Well, what's kind of funny about what you did was like, you couldn't find a tribe out in the wild. So you just made your own.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Create it.
Yeah.
You created it.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to make it myself then.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you did. And then, you know, they found you.
Yeah.
Put yourself out there, but you were the first one to stand up and say, this is bullshit. I'm not doing this anymore. Anyone else? And they were all like, yeah, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's tough at times whenever you're dealing with someone who's just unstable and they're not willing to see your perspective. And in my experience, they won't. They just won't.
They won't. And you have to, that's where it becomes okay to be the villain, because you need remembering that they are not able to comprehend what you're doing. Like they're just not capable of doing it. They don't have the mindset to do that. And sometimes whenever you think of it that way, it's easier to say, oh, okay. You know, they're wrong. I'm right about this.
Yeah. I say all the times, like, I can't help that you have stupid opinions. Like, I don't say that to you, but
thanks, babe.
No, in this instance, like this, you know, this hypothetical, it's like, I can't help that you have terrible ideas and opinions. I can't. I just disagree with you wholeheartedly, and I just not going to engage. Like, if we're going to argue about it, I just don't engage. Yeah. That's why I don't do politics either.
Yeah.
I don't do it.
No.
Like, I'm just refuse. I outright refuse to have those types of conversations.
Yeah. And if you want to read a book that might help you with this, it's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck by Mark Manson. I read that twice. It's on our website if you want to go check it out. I've mentioned it on our podcast before, but it really helps you put things into perspective.
Which is tough to do, especially when you're vilified and you're made to look like a horrible person for standing up for yourself.
Yep.
But that is generally also a very good indication that the boundary was valid.
100%.
Whenever people freak out like that over something like very, very civil and healthy,
yeah,
it's a great sign that boundary was valid.
That's a sign that it needed
man.
To be there.
Yeah. Who gets upset about that kind of stuff? Who gets upset about you don't get to use drugs in this home?
Yeah.
Who gets upset about like, we need to talk before we spend money?
Right.
Or
you know, your drinking is out of hand and it's making me feel uncomfortable. Like an average person would say, oh my gosh, you know, we need to actually figure this out. Let's see what's going on. Like, I'm harming my person. Let's discuss this. But somebody who's not there is going to fight you on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not okay.
Yeah. Or if you're asking
that's
for
not healthy.
Yeah. If you're asking for basic human respect and decency in a marriage around communication.
Yeah.
Or you drop your kids off with someone. It's like, I would appreciate a text every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really simple request.
Yeah.
It's a really simple request. But people with these crazy massive control issues don't like that. Like, I don't need these people around me.
They take it personally and they feel like they're attacked whenever you do things like that.
And
but it's not true.
Man, I've dealt with these people, very few of them, I'll bet, like very few. Like they're not super common.
Yes.
But being exposed to a world of addicts, you come across them more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been around many of them. And it's like, I don't need that in my life. I just don't. Like, I'm better off without it.
Yeah.
Even when it's been painful to cut people out. And I don't do that like lightly. Like, you have to really,
really,
really F up
and it's
for
not,
me to not want to give you more chances.
Right. And it's not like you haven't exhausted all of your options.
No, turn over every stone, man.
You try so hard to figure out, well, what can I do here? Just like all of our listeners. It's the same way. It's the same thing.
Dude, like, don't get it twisted. We are a believer in like figuring it out. Like,
yeah,
we are a believer in that. Like, we figured it out when a lot of people probably said you shouldn't even try.
But we understand these personalities. We understand how it works. We've been there. We know. We get it. It's not, you can try so many different things.
Dude, like,
and
I think
it just doesn't work.
I think I'm a pretty good communicator. I think I'm pretty good at communicating my feelings or describing a situation.
So.
And even in like non-judgmental accusatory ways, like I'm trained in that, like through recovery work and talking to people and helping people get sober. Like, it's one of the first things that you kind of pick up the speech and the vernacular that like, we don't attack people. Right. So I've had the most civil conversations of all time and been met with just absolute like vitriol
mm-hmm.
in return.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? Like, that is an insane reaction to what I just said.
Yeah.
And I have given, I mean, I don't know, hundreds of chances to one person in particular. Literally hundreds of chances.
Yep.
Like, oh no, they're going through a lot right now, or it's just my side of the street. I'll just try to communicate a little bit better. And it's never been more peaceful when you just say no more.
Yeah.
But I'm a villain because of it.
Yeah.
I'm a villain.
Yep.
So what?
Yep.
I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, say whatever you want, write whatever you want, make videos about it. I don't care. Like, you should have asked me if I cared first before you wasted your time, because I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I will sleep perfect tonight
mm-hmm.
and every night thereafter. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
And not resentful about it either.
No, it's just, that's a healthy place to be.
Yeah. It's like, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Right.
And I can't control it.
Exactly.
And I'm content with that.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
Yes.
Like, I can go about my day. Like, I know what I do every day. I think that I'm a decent person. I do my best to help other people. I look at my side of the street. I'm very aware of when I'm wrong and I make those things right. The people that you know that you're trying to change do none of these things. Don't expect them to start anytime soon, mm-hmm. unless some massive changes take place. Yep. And time plus pain equals change. Right. Maybe when they get in enough pain, they're willing to really start to make changes. But until then, you ain't gonna change them with a freaking conversation.
No.
Dude, you know how many times I've sat down with people and like intervention type situations? It's like, oh, we're just gonna talk some sense into them. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like I'll be here because I support you guys, but like I know how this ends.
Yeah.
I just sit there and watch it. Mm-hmm. I do my part, and then at the end of it, we're gonna do what we're gonna do. We're gonna do what we're gonna do.
Is what needs to happen.
So if we're going to do what we're going to do and you can't change that outcome, then the best thing you can do is protect yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Protect your kids, protect everyone around you that isn't sick, mm-hmm. and let them do their thing.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in that. Like, people need to experience some sort of consequence.
Agreed.
They do. And it's what gets you sober.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, the pendulum of life swings heavily back and forth, you know? It's like a generation before us was raised with probably too much discipline. Mm-hmm. And I say discipline, I mean, like, they took beatings and stuff on a pretty regular basis. Like, I was raised that way. Like, my parents, like, corporal punishment was, like, the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was nothing to get your ass whipped over, like, the dumbest stuff. Like, mm-hmm. like, we got our ass whipped. Like, I was the middle child, so I got my ass whipped, like...
extra
dude daily damn, in the babe. Summertime oh yeah when I was home like when I didn't have you know school to keep me out of the house and I was just around the house oh I was always getting my ass kicked for something probably most I mean I'm sure a lot of it was very well earned right don't get me wrong but
whatever.
I think that a generation before us was just quicker to that's how they fixed problems
yeah
I'm not gonna lie, straighten me up I quit doing a lot of that stuff
I guess.
But I think that we've swung the other direction really far where it's like, oh no, disease. They have a disease. They're sick. They're sick people. We have mm-hmm. to treat them with compassion. These people are assholes and they're crazy and you can't convince them with kindness or anything else. You poor baby, let's go get help. They're just going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, I think there's a blend of the two, right?
So absolutely. There's a middle ground.
That's the approach I generally take. Like, it is a value of mine. Like, I truly believe that you never tear someone apart without zipping them back up.
Yes.
Ever. Like, I can say some things that are not easy to hear. I can use some choice words, but I'm going to zip
you back
up. You're
very good with that.
Because I love you. At the end of the day, I love you. I do this with our kids all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, our son, he's like me in a lot of ways.
he's a mixture of both of
he's
us.
He's me made over. Paige named him after me without knowing this is how he would be. But like, but yeah, for him, it's like, sometimes I need to tell you, I don't give him the same punishment I got. Not at all.
No.
But he gets ripped up and then I zip him back up at the end of it. Always zip him back up. Mm-hmm. Zip him back up. So I think you can do both.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but like, your kids are going to, like, think about if you have kids, like, your kids are going to think you're a villain. Like, that happens. Like, you feel like a horrible parent for punishing kids.
I compare, you know, setting boundaries with kids as just like setting boundaries with addicts. If you have problems with setting boundaries with your partner, think about how you set them with your kids. Because, and what I learned is that instead of telling my child that you're in trouble if you do this, I say, if you do this, then you're choosing to be in trouble. If you do what I ask you not to do, like if you get in trouble, then you are choosing to have your phone taken away. This is no different than a boundary with a partner or spouse. Like, you're choosing the consequence. And it's just a way to spin it so that it's like, okay, I'm not really the bad guy. You really are choosing the consequence.
Yeah. Like, I think that there's that's like the opportunity cost of life, right? Like, by doing one thing, you can't do another. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast episode and might have been Modern Wisdom. I can't remember, but this guy named Douglas Murray was mentioned. And Douglas Murray said, in life, we choose our regrets. I think framed that way, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, when we're making choices, we're not just choosing the thing we'd like to do. We're also choosing like the lesser of the two evils when it comes to consequences and regrets. Like, if I wanted to go to an AA meeting today, or I had two choices, go to an AA meeting or go shopping. Like, if I choose to go to the AA meeting, like, I'll never know what I might've found at the mall. And that would be my regret. If I choose to go to the mall, not the AA meeting, I'll never know what I could have heard that could have changed my life forever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm choosing my regret. I'm going to that meeting because of the regrets I could have, those two choices, that's the one.
Yeah.
So when it comes to setting boundaries with toxic people, which regret do you want to have? Think of it that way.
Oh, that's good.
Would you rather have the regret that you look back on your life in 30 years and think, why did I do this for so long? Mm-hmm. Like, this person never changed. They wore me to a nub. And now I'm in counseling and I'm on antidepressants and God knows what else. Or do you want the regret that they said some like horribly false things about me?
Yes.
And I had to defend myself. Mm-hmm. What's better? Like, F them.
Yeah.
F them. Defend yourself. Stick up for yourself. Like, yes. You're not wrong here.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Just stand up for yourself.
Stand up.
And in that context, I have no problem choosing the regret that I'm not going to be liked by everybody, and that's okay.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
It's easier that way, I think, when you frame it.
It is.
Which regret do you want? If you had to eat a shit sandwich, what flavor do you want?
Yeah.
A friend of mine says that to me all the time.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Nasty.
It's a guy thing, I guess.
Okay.
He's a guy friend of mine. Like, when we're talking business, he's like, well, what flavor do you want? I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, they're both awful, but which one would I prefer to have? Okay,
yeah.
I'll go with it. I look at the like the regret outcome and say, which of those would I prefer to carry? And like Hormozy said, like, you know, think about yourself 50 years from now. What story do you want to tell? For the rest of your life, what story do you want to tell?
It's so good.
Man, and then it's just a matter of doing it and knowing that you're not alone in it and that it's going to be okay. And
it will be okay.
If someone just uses bad words against you, okay. If they write something mean about you, okay. If they put a video out there, or people are so passive aggressive now, all they're going to do is like put it in their story.
Yeah.
You know, like some like passive aggressive quote that you know is directed at you. Okay.
Whatever.
Way to go, dude. Like,
right.
Whatever. Whatever, man.
Yeah.
And like I said, like you don't come across these people a lot, but the chances are if you listen to this, you've got more than a few in your life.
True.
If it's an addict, I can tell you how that story ends. Until they get help, that won't change. If they're like a narcissistic type, control freak type, I'll tell you that ends too. Like that doesn't get better.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of our listeners probably have issues with the addict's family members blaming them too.
Oh my God.
They're the bad guys. And we see that a lot in the community too. Be okay. Being the villain.
Yeah. And like if you live in a small town, you'll get a lot of this crap. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got an opinion about you abandoned your marriage. You abandoned your someone in need. Man, you don't live in my house.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. You don't know what it's like.
No idea.
Only people who say shit like that, people who haven't lived it before.
It's true.
They haven't been there.
Right.
Let them speak.
Let them.
You know, and God forbid they ever have to go through it themselves. Like you can pray for them and shoot them the finger at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that no one ever has to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's like people who make fun of others that don't drink. It's like, okay, that's cruel. But I don't care. But at the same time, like you only say that because you haven't dealt with it.
Yeah.
I hope that you never do. I hope that your kids never go through this. I hope that you never get caught in the grips of addiction, man.
Yeah.
Like I was at a treatment center tonight. It was packed. I was up there to speak and there's probably 50 people there.
Oh, wow.
It was packed, man. It's wild. Like this thing is,
it's rampant. Crazy.
You know, roughly 16% of the population struggles with this. So even for people who say that they don't deal with this, they do in some way. They know someone.
Yeah.
They know someone.
Absolutely.
And it's really easy to judge people from the outside, but they don't live under your roof.
Mm-mm.
You know, they don't get the text that you get.
No,
You don't have to, they don't open their bank account to see there's no money in there than there was the day before. They don't have to do any of these things. Their opinion doesn't matter. It is irrelevant. It is absolutely irrelevant.
Yep.
And I just want people to know, like, hey, we get it. We love you anyway. You're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. If you don't need this in your life, it's okay. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
You'll be better off for it. Which of the two regrets do you want to have? Yeah. And frame it that way and things get a little bit easier.
Agreed.
There was something else I was going to talk to you about. And I can't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, dang. You didn't write it down?
It's a question I had for you. Okay. That's what it was. So how... Tell me about the progression for you from the first time that this happened, because this has happened in our lives, full disclosure, not naming names, but this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
When it first happened, how did you deal with that shock and how did you learn how to deal with it to where you are now?
Well, I had a lot of therapy over it. And I think that that was the first step to help me be okay with making the decisions, because that's where I was educated on it and where I was validated and was told, you're okay. These boundaries are not too extreme. And you can get that in a support group, obviously, too. And I think that that's probably what helped me get past that first layer of being scared to do it. But it took years to be okay with it. It took years. And it was just me building up my self-esteem and still doing the hard thing that I knew was right for me and not caving.
And is it easier now than it was then when you hear things?
It is easier, but it still hurts. I think that's solid.
So you think about it, just you still think about it, but less.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, like I said, it stings a little bit whenever I hear about it or something happens, you know, that within our life that makes me feel a little like, oh, you know, that's kind of it's not necessarily a trigger, but it is a sting.
Yeah. You don't spiral now like you used to.
No, I used to spiral.
It used to put you into like, I call them funks.
Yes.
It put you in a funk for weeks.
Not weeks.
Weeks. Weeks.
Okay. I guess you would know more than me because I was kind of getting out of survival mode too at that point.
Weeks. There was like a day. It's like, this is when the thing happened and things have not been the same.
Well, I didn't have support within my most intimate relationships.
Yeah.
So that made it very difficult as well. You know, I was the villain within a lot of, not just the people that I set my boundaries with.
Yeah. And you weren't wrong.
No, and I wasn't wrong, but it was very difficult to deal with that.
Yeah.
I had to get my validation from therapy.
Yeah. So it's gotten easier. You think about it a little bit less. The sting wears off quicker than it used to, mm-hmm. but it still hurts.
Yeah.
It's fair to say it still hurts.
Yeah, it still hurts. Like I get angry sometimes still, but it's not like it was before. Like I can get past it like that. I can accept it easier.
How long did it take you to recognize the pattern versus like, okay, that's a better way to ask that is, okay, so at some point you recognized a pattern. How long until you came to terms with like, this will not change no matter what I do or say?
Oh, I knew the pattern for 20 years.
And did you ever try to like correct it? Like,
yes.
And it got you?
Nowhere.
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 Yeah.
I even tried to appease. I even tried to be...
Placate.
Yeah. I even tried to like look at that person's side and say, okay, you know, maybe I'm just crazy. You know, maybe I just need to deal with it. Maybe everything will be okay. And that was not living by my values. And it hurt me more whenever I did that.
Yeah. That's the regret that hurts a little more.
That was the regret that hurt more was the fact that I was allowing it to happen. So you've and heard I was it now. Tolerating
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So you've heard it from the horse's mouth. Someone who's been through this. It hurts more to stay in it.
Yes.
And to like you enable what you condone.
Yeah.
Or is it you condone?
No, you condone what you enable.
You condone what you enable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what you tolerate, you condone what you tolerate.
That is more painful than being the villain.
Yes.
It is because
it gets progressively worse and you really do lose yourself in it. You lose your values you lose your self-esteem. It's just, it messes with you. And then when you start peeling it apart, it hurts more. So I got to be honest with that. It's like grief. Like it's going to hurt. It's going to be really hard, especially when you don't have support around you. But eventually you get to a point where you're like, you know what? I did the right thing. I did what was best for me. I did it to protect myself and I'm better off for it.
You are, no doubt.
Yeah.
You learned a lot of lessons about human nature and about how to protect yourself and stand mm-hmm. up for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's empowering.
Yeah. And standing up for myself wasn't having conversations. Standing up for myself was taking action.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It's not just saying things.
It's not
shooting
having,
text messages
it's
or
not
emails
communicating
or,
it's not doing that. It was literally because I tried, you know, I also knew that I couldn't get through to somebody. I knew that personality. Like I said, I placated. But once I got to a point where I was like, I'm not doing this anymore, I removed myself.
Yeah, you stop showing up.
Yep.
Stop being there.
Yep.
It's like I'm just, my presence will not be.
I'm not gonna allow myself to get sucked in over and over again and hurt when I'm not heard, when my boundaries are crossed over and over and over again.
Unapologetically too.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I don't care what you say. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right. It's an action. It's not a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, and we did an episode on communicating with someone with an active addiction. Go back and listen to that. The TLDR, TLDL, TL, yeah, too long, didn't listen, would be you can't. Stop trying.
Yeah.
You can't. No. You cannot communicate with someone.
You have to have action. You have to take action.
That's how you communicate. You communicate via actions.
Via actions.
That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
It's boundaries and behaviors. That's it.
Yeah.
You can't communicate or reason with someone in that state.
Yeah.
And this applies to dry drunks. Mm-hmm. This very much applies to dry drunks
as
well.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Dry drunk, for someone who's not aware, someone who has stopped drinking but not dealt with any of the underlying behaviors. They are still in their mind like a difficult 11-year-old going through puberty that does not listen and thinks they're a genius.
Yeah.
As we're figuring out with kids that are going through puberty. They know everything. Everything.
You know what I did?
But there are grown-ass people like that.
You know what I did during the healing process, though, like when I started going through all this that I think that our listeners would benefit from, is writing a letter of your feelings to somebody who's harmed you, right? But not sending it. Having it for you to look at as a reminder of why you did what you did.
That's a good point, because it's easy to forget.
Oh, you know.
Dude. Do I ever? Like, I'm an agreeable person.
Yes.
In general, I'm an agreeable person. Like, I'm not.
You get along with everybody.
I'm not standoff. I love people.
I know.
I love people.
You're great.
And I want to see the best in people.
100%.
Because I've seen the worst people become the best people.
Yeah.
I know people can change. I believe in human capacity to change. So I give everyone the benefit of the doubt, and I have always done that to a fault. And so it's really easy for me to be hurt by someone and then to forget about it. Like, truly actually forget what happened. Like, why am I mad again?
Yeah.
I don't stay mad long, like, at all. No. I've never been that way.
Yeah.
Like, in our relationship, have I ever stayed mad at you for longer than a few hours?
No, it's really weird. It is. It's weird because, like, I would get so mad at you where I'm like, I'm not even going to talk to you for a day. But you would slide things off. And I don't know if it's okay or not. Like, I mean, in certain situations, it can be very
I think it can be beneficial at times, but I was using it like a wholesale thing. Like, I'm just going to do this all the time. I think it comes from my people pleasing behaviors. It comes from my want and need for there to be peace. I've mentioned before, I grew up in a home where there was addiction. Like, my parents have dealt with it. Like, I've got siblings that have dealt with it. And I was the middle child. Everyone knows about middle child syndrome. Like, I was like the peacekeeper type. Like, I wanted everyone to be okay. I wanted everyone to be happy. I was always trying to do that in my life. And I think that carried on long after I left the home, where I just want everything to be okay. I want everything to be peaceful. And when you're growing up in a situation that's volatile like that, like, that's what you're trying to do. You're just like, I need it to be happy again. I need to find peace again.
Yeah.
So I think I trained myself in some ways to just like forget about things.
Uh-huh.
And like, truly forget about them. Like, they're in here somewhere. Like, it's repressed. And maybe one day I'm going to have a breakdown. I don't know. We'll find out.
We talked about that.
TBD. We'll find out. But it's not exactly a healthy thing to do, because I can put myself back in harm's way so easily. Like, it's almost like amnesia. It's like,
that's a thing.
It's like amnesia.
Yeah.
It's like, I can touch a hot stove and then walk out of the room and forget, like, there's a stove. Let me go touch it and just touch it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was an addict. Obviously, I did that. But I do that with relationships, too, with people.
Yeah, but there are a lot of high highs and low lows. And you remember those highs.
I'm an addict. I like dopamine, dude.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm going to do?
So that's what happened, dear.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I like those highs. And it's really easy for me to forget the lows, because I look at lows like, I don't believe in, like, we've talked about this, like falling is not failing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've got tough skin. Like, I can let things roll off. Like, a big deal. It didn't hurt my feelings. I'm all right. Move on. But some of these things, like, I need to think about a little longer. I do.
Yeah.
Because what you'll end up doing is walking back into the hornet's nest over and over and over and keep wondering, like, damn, I got stung again. Ain't that some shit? And then you walk back in there 10 minutes later. Damn, I got stung again.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with that? How'd that happen? Writing it down is a great way to remind yourself. And I actually have a notepad now in my phone, like the notes app
on
my phone.
Yes, me too.
And I had to remind myself of these things so I didn't do it again.
Yep.
Because I would do it. Like, yeah. I just would. I forget. I get busy and I forget. Someone will hit me up. It's like, yo, I've talked forever. How you doing? I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
You're scumbag. Like, never mind. Like, well, I'm good. I'm good. Goodbye.
It's crazy how that happens.
It's nuts. Yeah. But I think a lot of people can relate.
Yeah.
Because we want peace. We want happiness. Like, these things in relationship. Like, I'm confrontational, like, when I'm pushed, but in general, like, I don't like to be confrontational. Who does, right? Like, I don't mind it when it's called for, but
yeah, you're good when it's called for, though.
When it's called for.
Like, you're really good on, like, immediate when something happens and you're like, oh, I'm going to own this person.
There's a time and a place where I can just, I can be that way. But like with people that, especially people that like consider friends or like family members, like I'm generally not that confrontational.
No, you're not.
Like at work and business, it's part of the game. It's easy for me there.
Yeah.
Strangers on the internet, like I generally don't engage with them. I just usually ignore, but every so often someone will attack you and I come after them. Just quickly, but I'm not like terrible about it. It's usually something funny.
I love it. I think you're so good at it.
I think it's more funny, but it's easy if you don't write these things down to get caught right back in it.
Yeah.
It really is, man. But yeah. Remind yourself why you made this decision, and you won't feel so bad about it. You can even go back and revisit it every so often.
Yes.
And it should not be like, hey, let's go revisit my trauma kind of stuff. It's just, I need to be reminded so that I don't expose myself again. Mm-hmm. Because if this person's not done anything to change, they're going to keep doing what they've always done.
Yeah.
And you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten.
Right.
Nothing will change.
Exactly.
And that's just the nature of it. It's the nature of addiction. And dry drunks especially are bad about this.
Yes.
They will walk around like without the substance just as bad, if not worse.
And that's what's so scary.
Yeah, man. Recovery is not treatment. Like, I can't tell people that enough. Like, people, as soon as someone has a problem, like the general DM we get, it's like, oh, they got to go to rehab. I'm like, rehab's good for a few things. It's a good place to get education. It's a good place to get separated from your environment. It's a good place to detox. That's it, though. Think of it like, it's like school for addicts. You show up and you get educated on what's going on with you. But then you're given a very specific set of instructions before you leave. And it's the most important part. They'll tell you, you need to get to an IOP or a sober living program. You need to get into a 12-step group and you need to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. You need to get a sponsor and you need to work the steps. Like 5% of people do that. Most people just get out and maybe they do a few of these things half-assed or they don't do any of them at all.
Yeah, they don't go in.
They think it's going to change.
It has to change. Even like go into therapy and stuff like that. It's not just a program.
It just goes to further this point we make all the time is that just removing the substance accomplishes very little.
Yeah.
Very little. Real recovery is outside of a treatment center. Mm-hmm. That's what recovery is. Recovery is living life sober, exposing yourself to all these things and trying to achieve emotional sobriety. Mm-hmm. Like emotional sobriety is the opposite of dry drunk. Trying to, you know, be content with emotions up and down, big, small, processing feelings from the beginning all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. If someone's not doing that, like I've been around long enough to know now that like I'm not going to waste my time with that one.
Yep.
I'm just not.
Yeah.
If it's someone who's struggling and they reach out and they need help, I'm there. But when it comes to people that are just kind of on the periphery of my life, like I'm just not getting involved with that, man. I know how that works. Yeah.
So true.
I ain't getting in that shit again.
Yep.
Not worth it.
Yep.
Okay. I think it's all we've got here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be okay being a villain. It's not so bad.
Yep. It's okay.
It's not so bad. Like think about all the like Disney movies. Like the villain's just as popular as the main character.
But those are like the true villains.
I'm just saying.
Those are the people who did bad things. We're not doing bad things. We're just thought of the bad person in somebody's mind who isn't all there.
We'll say villains in air quotes then.
Yeah.
But own it. Okay, I'll be a villain. If that's what a villain is, I got no problem being a villain. I'll put it that way. If that's what a villain is to you, then fine.
Yeah.
Make me a villain all day long. That's not a villain.
No.
Not a villain.
Nope. So
stand up for yourself, man. Don't take that shit from people.
Nope.
All right, I think that's all.
Yes, we're good.
Awesome. All right, well, till next time, I'm Matt.
I'm Paige.
And we'll see you.
Bye.